Series, and if you're here because you know it's just a cool Sunday to be here, Mother's Day is a day everybody goes to church, you're getting in on the very beginning of a brand new spanking series. It's on the grace of God. The issue of grace by itself is huge. It's bigger than what our mind can comprehend. The issue of grace is something that there's just really no way we can fully understand the complexities of it. There's no way we can fathom it. God's grace is bigger than a four-week sermon series. The big idea that we're going to discover about God's grace in this series is that grace is more than just forgiveness of sin. Grace is just more of wiping the slate clean. There is more to God's grace than that. Grace teaches us actually how to live a godly life. The big idea that we're going to discover is that grace isn't just for forgiveness, but it's also for living. There was a story I read about a man and a woman, a Christian couple, and the man had terrible bouts of anger, had terrible fits of anger. And when the rage would hit him, he would be abusive towards his wife, slam her up against a kitchen cabinet, slap her across the face. And he would always feel horrible about doing this, so he'd leave the room in his shame. And eventually, the rage beast would subside, and he would go to his wife, and he would ask for forgiveness and promise he would never do it again. And every time the man went to his wife for forgiveness, as a Christian, she said, "You know, grace has been shown to me. I've got to show grace to my husband." So every time the husband would beat the holy fire out of her, he would receive the forgiveness that he asked for. You see, the only thing about God's grace that this dear woman understood was forgiveness. But that's not all there is to God's grace. That's the only thing that she understood. That's the only thing she knew about. That's the only thing she had ever heard about. She only knew a small piece of God's grace, and that small piece was enough to keep her in danger. Most of us would tell this woman, "Get out of there. This guy's going to kill you. Leave." And any sane person would relate that information to her. Any sane believer understands that this woman has no duty to stay in that relationship where she is at risk. But yet, the only thing she understood about God's grace was the forgiveness aspect of it. And it's a beautiful piece of God's grace. Don't get me wrong on that. I love the forgiveness that grace brings. But there is more to God's grace than forgiveness. And when we think about that story, as horrible as that story is, we think about the abused wife. But, you know, this guy, he's not happy about what he's doing either. This dude has got some issue deep down in his heart. There is something that has tore him up. There is a pain inside him that makes him lash out. I'm not saying make this guy a husband of the year, but this is a Christian guy. He knows better. What's making him this way? What is the origin of what makes him lash out and act out that causes ruin for his family and ruin for everybody else in his life? What is it that makes this cat do this? He's tormented, and he needs a little bit more help than just his wife wiping the slate clean when he's done. The most gracious thing this wife could do would probably be to leave this dude until he can get the help that he needs to get this rage under control, to get this rage on lock. And what about Jesus? I told you they were a Christian couple. In any Christian marriage, there's three people in the marriage. There's the husband, there's the wife, and there's Jesus. What about Jesus' role in this? You know, Jesus loves the wife and Jesus loves the husband. And as much as he loves all of them, Jesus has something for this guy who's acting out in rage. I mean, do you think Jesus is just going to forgive the guy and then leave this rage monster in him? Do you think Jesus is going to forgive this guy and then just let this sore just go untreated? To me, it would be the equivalent of Jesus going up to a homeless guy and saying, "Go and sin no more," without giving him some bread and some clothes. You know, he's going to take care of the problem. He's going to take care of the issue. And those are really the two sides. Well, the grace is multi-sided. But he's going to forgive somebody, but he's also going to help them stop the sin. He's also going to help them live that life. If all we understand about God's grace is forgiveness, then we're really only seeing this precious silver sliver of what God's grace really is and how awesome it is for us. And if all we understand is God's grace being forgiveness, then this is what happens. We sin. We feel bad about it. We pray about it. We repent about it. And then we do it again rinse and repeat. We sin, we feel bad about it, we pray about it, ask for forgiveness, repent, and then we do it again. We're on this constant loop. If grace is forgiveness to us, we're not getting, probably we're probably not understanding the fuller teaching and the greater part of God's grace. Would God save us and forgive us and not lift a finger to help us change? Would God forgive us and save us and not do anything to help us be better? Does God's grace only forgive us our sin, or is there something to His answer for our sin locked in His grace that we don't understand? Is there something more in His grace that we've not tapped into? We're going to learn that God's grace does more for us than to forgive us of our sin. His grace also breaks the grip of sin on our life. His grace also overcomes the source of our sin in our life. His grace changes our condition. God forgives and restores, but He also guides and He also guards. If we wait until we've sinned to call upon the grace of God, I think that we've squandered the greatest part of God's grace. His grace instructs us to deny ungodliness, to deny sin, to deny ungodly living in order to live more holy lives. Titus chapter 2. We're going to see in Titus chapter 2 that there are some things that this text tells us that we're very familiar with about grace, but also there's another part of this that maybe we've never considered about God's grace. And God's grace is more than forgiveness. The Bible says, "For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people." Check. We got that part. We understand that. Verse 2 starts with the word instructing, but I want you to understand it points back to what was mentioned in verse 1, which is grace. Grace instructs us to deny godliness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in this present age, in the right here and the right now. While we wait for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works. Grace is more than just saving us. It's also giving us the ability and guides us into walking daily in the faith. And grace appears next to words in this text like these. It appears next to words like denying godliness, worldly lust, living in a sinful, righteous, and a sensible, righteous, and godly way. Well, for many of us, we're saying, what kind of grace is that? Grace is just to forgive me of my sin. But the thing is, grace is more than just for forgiveness. It's to help us live more godly lives. It is to help us overcome what we're doing to cause us to sin in the beginning. Grace is able to secure your eternity. Yes. Grace is able to secure your citizenship into the kingdom of God. Yes. But grace can also help you live a better life right now. This side of eternity. This side of the grave. This side of forever. Grace can do that. And I think there are 4 points in this passage that I want you to be aware of. Number one, grace brings salvation. Church, say grace brings salvation. We know this one. This is the one we got unlocked. This is the one how we got saved. This is what brought us into the kingdom of God. In fact, we're aware of the fact that Ephesians chapter 2 says we are saved by grace through faith and not of our works, lest any man should boast. We know about that part of God's grace. Grace brings us into salvation. We've got that on understanding lock. And this is the starting point of our faith in Jesus. But it's just the start. The truth is, I think grace gets better. The second thing I saw in the text was this. Number one, grace teaches us to say no. Church, will you say that with me? Grace teaches us to say no. It doesn't just save us, but it helps us say no to things like sin, no to things like lust. God forgives us our sin, but He doesn't want us trapped in the sin cycle forever. He doesn't want us trapped doing the same old stuff forever, where we sin, feel bad, pray, repent, rinse and repeat. He wants us to get out of that. Grace keeps working for us, teaching how to resist temptation. Grace helps us to resist sin. Grace helps us resist ungodly living. We can actually call on grace not just to forgive us of when we mess up, but we can call on God's grace when we're tempted to mess up. Preach, I've never thought about that. Me neither. But this is exactly what Titus 2 is teaching us about God's grace. I think I swallowed a gnat. I'm sorry. Number 3. I'm full. Most of you knew that I'm full of something. Number three. I was talking about gnats. All right. Number three. Grace teaches us how to live. Can we read that together? Grace teaches us how to live. So grace brings us to salvation and help us say no, and it can teach us how to live. There's more to this Christian life than saying no to sin. God's grace is able to replace our sin habit with patterns of sensible, righteous, godly living. Grace doesn't just take us to heaven, it helps bring heaven a little bit closer to us right now. This doesn't happen by trusting in our works. This happens by trusting in His grace. God, help me to live a godly life. Help me love people who are hard to love. Help me love people who are difficult to love. Help me be God in a godless situation. Number four, grace fills us with hope. One more time, let's knock it out of the park. Church, say grace fills us with hope. Grace fills us with hope. Saves us, say no, how to live, and fills us with hope. Those are four different things than what we... Well, three. Those are three different things that we really didn't understand about grace already so far in this first message. We can miss this if we're not looking closely at verse 13. We can miss the hope that grace gives us while we wait for the blessed hope. Man, if you think you're in a hopeless situation, understand something. If you've got grace, you've got hope.
Amen.
You've got grace, you've got hope. Life in Christ is more than just fighting the temptation of sin or even living godly little lives. Grace is also available to hope fill our lives now and in the next life. Grace doesn't leave us naked beside the road. Grace doesn't leave us trapped in sin. Grace doesn't leave us in a condition where all we do is live in the clutches of sin. The grace of God wants to teach us to live a new life. He doesn't just say, go and sin no more. He gives us new clothes. He dresses our wounds. He fills our empty stomach. He quenches our parched thirst. He does something to us. It's not just wiping the slate clean. He wants us to live better lives. And if grace is the teacher, then we are the students and our lives are the classroom. He will use the things in our life to teach us about His grace. He will teach the things that disrupt our life, that hurt us, to teach us about His grace. And if we allow grace to teach us, we'll see that grace not only takes us to heaven when we die, it actually brings heaven closer to us while we're alive. Grace not only forgives our sin, grace teaches us how to live a life that is free of sin, free of the clutches of sin, free of the power of sin, free of the guilt and condemnation of sin. Most Christians are in a pattern. I am in the pattern that of unhealthy choices of choosing sin. I'll just preach myself because maybe you're in the same boat I am, but this part's for me. Most Christians are in a pattern that is unhealthy, and we choose sin, and it's bad. But what makes it worse is that when I sin, the enemy will pull me down a little bit deeper. And I wrote this next sentence, and I think it's for me. It may not be for another one of you in the room, but it's for me. But if it is, you're welcome to it. The devil will tempt me to sin, and then I will sin, and then he makes me feel bad about doing the sin he tempted me to do in the first place. And then he'll start lying to me. So the devil will tempt me to sin. I sin, and then he makes me feel bad about what, and then he makes me feel bad doing what he tempted me to do. And then I feel worse. I feel horrible. I feel shameful. I feel humiliated. I feel broken. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about, or is this just mine? All right. We feel guilty for listening to his lie that flowed off his lying tongue. And here's the thing. I'm dumb enough to listen to him. He'll say, dude, you're worthless. I don't know why you think you're a Christian. I don't know why you think God loves you. Look what you did. And I listen to him. And then I feel horrible. And I feel so horrible, I do it again. Go through the same stupid cycle. He tempts me. I sin. Then he tells me how horrible I am that I sin. I feel worse and I go back to the beginning. And it's a cycle I've been on my whole life. I'm sorry. I'm not happy about it. I feel horrible about it. But maybe that's the same cycle that explains, maybe that's all of our cycles. I don't know. But I do know this. Sin always brings death. The wages of sin is death. And what God's grace does is God's grace brings life. It brings restoration. It wipes away death and the stain of sin. Even better, His grace raises me up so I can learn something from my sin, learn something from my mistake, learn something from my failure, learn something from my fall. Even in our sin, God's grace speaks a better word to us. God will turn our sin into stuff of restoration. Y'all, I've got about 5 more minutes. Stay with me. To me, this is the most powerful, impacting part of the entire message. God will use my sin to restore me. Preacher, what do you mean by that? This is what I mean by that. He'll take our defeats and our failures and our frustrations, and He'll turn them into the very fabric of instruction that will help us live better lives. I will prove this to you in a moment. He wants us to learn from our past defeats, our past sins, and He wants to say, go and sin no more. Let me prove this to you. And this will wipe away every doubt you have of what I'm telling you right now. Have you ever learned something from your sin? Have you ever learned anything? Then that's God's grace. If you've learned something from a fall, from a defeat, from your sin, if you've learned something from that, you might understand God's grace forgives you of that sin, but let me tell you something else God's grace does. It will also help you learn something from when you fell. And if you've ever learned something from your sin, you understand something. Listen to me. The devil doesn't want you to learn squat from your sin. God wants you to know restoration and redemption. And so when you learn something from your sin, you are experiencing a part of God's grace that maybe you did not even know was there. God isn't only eager to forgive us of our sin. He is eager to teach us and to learn from our sin. If we're open to His voice, even our sin becomes grace in His hands. He'll show us the right path to take, the correct steps to take, not by insisting on obedience, but by revealing our hearts to us. Not by counting our sins against us, but by teaching us a new way to live. Jesus not only wants to forgive us our sin, He wants to heal us of the weakness that caused us to sin in the first place. If I fall into anger, He wants to reveal the source of my anger and heal the weakness that led me to sin. If I choose greed, He wants to reveal my insecurity and heal the weakness that led me to sin to begin with. If I choose lust, He wants to reveal my desires and heal my weakness that led to sin. If I choose judgment, He wants to reveal my pride and heal the weakness that led me to sin to begin with. God wants to heal every one of our weaknesses that led us and leads us to sin. That's a part of God's grace. It's not just the forgiveness part. He wants us to be the type of people who live godly lives in this present time. This is cool, and I don't like the way it's worded, but it's cool. Please get this. Whatever God asks us to do, He will always give us the tools to do it. If He says, go and sin no more, then that means He's going to give us what we need to go and sin no more. He's not just going to say, do it, and then not provide us the tools to do the job He's called us to do. Where He guides, He provides. He takes us to the source, and He gives us hope. This is the type and shadow of resurrection, a resurrection from life to death. Resurrection isn't just for Jesus, it's for you and me too. It's coming out of a dead life of sin and living a life of redemption and holiness. Sin puts us in the tomb, and this is what happens. Sin puts us in the tomb, and Jesus rolls the stone away. And here's the thing, He will roll that stone away as often as we need it. Not a one and done. If I need that sin stone rolled away today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year, He is more than happy to roll the stone away. Our takeaway from this text can be extremely personal. We can pray about Titus 2. We can listen about Titus 2. And we can learn from Titus 2. This is the assignment I give you. In the prayers you pray this week, I want you to include something like this in your prayer. Spirit of God, please open my eyes and my ears to recognize Your grace in my life. Spirit of God, give me eyes and ears to recognize your grace in my life. And then just listen for Him. God, let me see your grace in my life. If we ask God to help us to recognize His grace in our lives, He will give us what we ask for. Matthew 7, 7 and 9 and 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If so, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Church, if you ask God to let him allow you to recognize His grace, He will let you recognize His grace in your life. We can ask to learn from His grace with confidence from God that He will teach us. And after we'll pray, look for the opportunity to learn. Grace of the teacher, you're the student, life is a classroom. And you'll understand that God wants to do so much more in our life than just to forgive us of our sin. This week, try this exercise in your prayer time once a day if you can. Let it work in your life once a day. It's not just having more head knowledge about grace. It's about opening your ears and your eyes and to live in the deeper grace that God has for you. God's grace isn't just for forgiveness of sin. It's for teaching us and giving us a new way.